All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians 5, and I will read some very familiar verses to you this evening. Ephesians chapter 5. And we begin reading in verse 21. And Paul says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, let's pray. Father, pray your blessings on us tonight. I want to thank you so much for your word. Bless what we're about to see tonight and give us understanding. I pray that you will edify our hearts, strengthen our hearts, help us to be encouraged in the work of God, and Lord, just bless your word to our hearts. We need your blessing, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the subject that I want to speak on tonight is a little, I don't know if you could say controversial. I don't know that it's controversial. It's maybe folks are a little confused about some of this that I'm going to share with you tonight. And hopefully we can clear up some of the confusion. You have heard me say in this study that we've been doing on the church that that a lot of what we believe about the church has come to us through various sources that are not always fundamental and separated like they should be. A lot of what we understand about the church has come to us through gospel music in a lot of cases. It has come to us through interdenominational churches. It has come to us through, hold on, the Scofield Bible. Hello. But it's true. Mr. Scofield was not a fundamental Baptist. You do realize that, right? Mr. Scofield was off on a number of things, and one of the things he was off on was the doctrine of the church. He believed, as we have looked at last week, about this universal church. He believed in that universal church thing that comes out of Protestantism. So much of what we have heard about the local church, about the New Testament church, has come to us from some sources that while there may be many, many good people in these arenas, they would not call themselves fundamental Baptist people. Much of what we have been taught in our churches all over America has come from our preacher boys going to non or interdenominational Bible colleges, all right, like Pensacola and Bob Jones. They're not Baptist schools. They are interdenominational schools. They have come, a lot of their theology, especially on the church, has come from the Protestant position on the church. And so as a result of this, there's a lot of confusion on what the New Testament church is all about. And the truth is, most of us probably think on all of this pretty much similar to the way these other groups think. They normally teach that all believers form the church. And if you're saved, you're a member of the church. And that's not right. If you're saved, you're saved. But you're not automatically a member of the church. You have to join the church. Are you listening? I mean, that's why we ask you to join the church. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, amen. I'm glad you are. Now, do the next thing you're supposed to do and join the church. All right? Get baptized. If you haven't been baptized, that will join you with the church. But if you have been baptized, join the church. And there's a reason that we preach that. There's a reason that we believe that. But there's this large element that believes today that if you're saved, then you are a member of the church. You are a here's the term they use. You are a part of the bride of Christ. How many have heard that? The bride of Christ. Sure you have. I mean, if it were not for the subject of the bride of Christ, there wouldn't be a lot of gospel music today. They love that theme. They love that theme. You can parallel that all day. All right, so let's think about this tonight. What does the Bible say about the bride of Christ? Now, I'm going to shock you here now. And so hear the whole argument before you say, oh, I don't know, Pastor, I just don't know. Well, you got to unthink some things. All right, so unthink for a minute, and then let's see if we can get straightened out on some of this. All right, what's the Bible say about the bride of Christ? All right, now here, I'm going to shock you. You ready? Here it goes. The word bride is mentioned only 5 times in the New Testament. 5 times, that's it. The first time it is mentioned is when it was used as an illustration by John the Baptist. The people thought that John just had to be the Messiah, the Savior. They knew he had to be. But he told them that he was not the Messiah. He said that he told them, and using an illustration, he said that he was just a wedding guest and that the bridegroom was coming later. And he was not referring to all Christian people when he said that. He was merely speaking of himself. He wasn't teaching doctrine. He was trying to illustrate the point that he was not the Messiah. He was just a wedding guest. He was just there to observe. He was there to be a part of what the Lord was going to do. And the word bride, all right, so that's in the Gospels. And then the word bride, I know it's going to shock you, but the word bride is not mentioned in any of the epistles. Shock, but it's not. It's not mentioned in any of the epistles. Now, isn't that strange? Paul did not call the church. Here's my point. Paul did not call the church, the New Testament church. Let me clarify. Paul did not call us the bride of Christ. He did not call us the bride of Christ. The Apostle Peter did not call the church the bride of Christ. The Apostle James did not call the church the bride of Christ. The author of the book of Hebrews did not call the church the bride of Christ. In John's three epistles, there is no mention of the church as being the bride of Christ. As a matter of fact, the word bride is not mentioned again until Revelation 18:23. And then it's mentioned in 21:2. And then it's mentioned in Revelation 21:9. And then the final time is in Revelation 22:17. So apart from John the Baptist talking about the bridegroom in a brief illustration about himself, there is not a single mention of the word bride in any connection until you get to Revelation 18:23. Now let's turn over there for just a minute. Revelation 18:23. All right, now if you remember, in chapter 17, we have the description of Mystery Babylon. All right, and chapter 18, we see the destruction of that city, of that, look at verse 2, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a habitation of devils, etc., etc. Now look at verse 23. It says, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." Now, notice the timing of this, of when this verse is mentioned. And in Revelation 18, we have the destruction of Babylon at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. So at the end of the tribulation is when we have the first mention of the bridegroom and the bride. This destruction of Babylon will occur when the Lord Jesus comes at his second coming. So this is describing the return of Christ to the earth. Now, question. In the book of the Revelation, where did the rapture occur? You remember? Chapter what?
Four.
And what chapter are we reading out of? 18. All right, so you remember our little 5R outline: rapture, ruin, the tribulation period, 7 years, rapture, ruin, and in chapter 18, we're at the end of the ruin period. And then return, that's what's being described here, the destruction of Babylon when Jesus comes back with his saints. All right, so rapture, ruin, return, reign, restoration. Reign, the 1,000-year millennial reign, and then restoration, a new heaven and a new earth. So Revelation 4, the rapture, Revelation 6 through 18, the ruin, the tribulation period, chapter 19, the return, the reign, 20 and 20, chapter 20, and then restoration, 21 and 22. So the book of Revelation just outlines itself for you. And so the rapture will happen in 4:1. So the word bride, pay attention now, this is it. The word bride is not mentioned until after the rapture of the church. Do you see that? It's not mentioned until after the rapture of the church. Look at 21 and verse 2. Chapter 21, Revelation, verse 2. John said in verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a," what? "Bride adorned for her husband." All right, so when is this in that outline? All right, rapture, ruin, return, reign, restoration. When is this? Well, it's over here at the beginning of the restoration period. Now, when was the rapture? Way back here, 1,007 years earlier. All right, so you see it? Prepared as a bride. This is a reference to the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven after the millennium. So the beginning of eternity. Look at 21:9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the" what? "Bride." Who is the bride? The Lamb's wife. All right? So 22:17, again, in the same time period. Then 22:17, "And he measured the wall thereof," and or 22, I'm sorry, I read 21. 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come." So these are all referring to the same time, and that is, they're all after the rapture. What's the point? All right, here's the point. I think this clearly shows us that all saved people do not become a bride until after the rapture. Now think on that. I guess what I'm saying is there is no bride of Christ today. There is no place in the Bible where it mentions anything about us now being the bride of Christ. It's not mentioned that we are now the bride of Christ. You say, well, Pastor, what are we? We're the body of Christ. We're the church. We're the redeemed. But we're not yet the bride of Christ. Now, you can find that we are the bride of Christ in the interdenominational commentaries or in the Scofield Bible notes, but you can't find that in the Bible text. Now, I make an issue out of this because it's been made unclear by these people who do not have an emphasis upon the importance of the New Testament local church. And they have put an emphasis upon so many other things and taken it off of the New Testament church. Now, look at chapter 19, Revelation 19, for just a minute. Look at verse 7. He says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him." Why? "For the marriage of the Lamb is come." The marriage of the Lamb is come. Now, folks, listen. The marriage supper, the marriage of the Lamb takes place after the rapture. When was the rapture? Chapter what? I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to get you to think. The rapture happened in chapter 4. So let us be glad and rejoice. Who's us? All the redeemed. And we're now in heaven. How do we get there? The rapture. And so during the tribulation, when the tribulation is happening on the earth, all the redeemed are going to be in heaven. And then let us be glad, verse 7, and rejoice. Why? "For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now, folks, think about it. Verse 7 says that for the wife hath made herself ready. In this verse, the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place after the marriage. You don't have a reception and then have a wedding. You have the wedding and then have a reception. Okay? And so this marriage supper is the reception. Verse 7 talks about the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb takes place when all the redeemed are gathered home, gathered to heaven at the rapture. We're caught up in the air, and during that 7-year period, somewhere in there, the marriage takes place. Now, let's use a little common sense and reasoning here, okay? A woman becomes a bride at the marriage. When the preacher says, "Wilt thou?" and she wilt. All right? So a woman becomes a bride at the marriage, not before. The marriage of the Lamb is in heaven after the believers are raptured. You become a bride at the marriage, after you say, "I do." You're the bride. So we will not form the bride of Christ until after the rapture and we all get around the altar in heaven for the marriage. The word bride is not mentioned in the entire Bible concerning God's people until after the rapture, because we are not his bride until the wedding has been performed. So, all believers are members of his family, but all believers are not members of his church. Why? They won't join it. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be truthful. And you're not going to have to answer to me for that. Hello? You're not going to have to answer to me for that. I'm telling you, some folks better rethink this thing. Let me remind you, in the text that I read out of the book of Ephesians a moment ago, it very clearly says here that he loved the church and gave himself for it. So you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm saved." Amen. I'm glad you are. You know what that means? You're going to heaven. I'm glad for that. You say, "Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." Yep, I wholeheartedly agree with that. But not all believers are members of his church. You must join the church to be a member of the church. The church is his body. So all believers are not in his body. All believers are not in the church, and all believers are not in his body. You say, "Well, I never looked at it like that, Pastor." I know. These interdenominationalists and these others who are not wanting to offend, they have backed off of this because they don't want to run people off. But you know, I quit worrying about that years ago. When Jesus comes again at the rapture, and listen to me now, when Jesus comes again in the clouds, trumpet sounds, dead in Christ will rise, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, then we become members of the church, whether you like it or not. Now, you could sit down here and say, "Well, I ain't joining that church." Yep, but the day is coming when you will. And you have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have the Lord say, "You know, I put Brother Norris in that church. I called him there. And I gave him all that stuff he preached to you. He didn't know it. He dumb as a box of rocks. And I showed it to him. And then he went in there and preached, but you wouldn't join." Boy, just think what would have happened had you joined. You could have done a whole lot for me. But you didn't do it. Now, what's that judgment seat of Christ all about? Reward gain, reward loss. Is everybody listening? I'd join if I were you. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. When the Lord comes again at the rapture, all believers will become members of the church. You say, why? Because at that point, when that trumpet sounds and we're all called out to assemble in heaven, that's what a church is, called out assembly. That called out assembly or church will become his bride, but this does not happen until the rapture. You say, well, that's just something else for me to have to do. Yes, that's the point. That is something else for you to do. It is you making consecrated decisions. I'm going to do this for the Lord. And it's a step of faith on your part. Just like it was a step of faith for you to trust Christ as your Savior. It is now a step of faith for you to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Why? Because he said so. Not because I said so. Because he said so. And join the church. Why? Because he died for it. It's his agency. It's his entitlement to us. So that we'll serve him and work for him. So there is no mention of the church now being his bride. Folks, in all the letters of the New Testament, in all the epistles, in the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, there is not one mention of the church being his bride. The bride and the body are never the same in this age of grace. And folks have they've come up with all kinds of interpretations in order to understand what the Bible says and explain this. There is one group, I've told you about them, they're all over the place, but there's a big element of them down in southern Ohio, and they call themselves Landmarkers, Baptist Bride. And what they say is, they say, if you're a member of their church, then you are the bride of Christ. But if you're not a member of their church, you can still be saved and you can still go to heaven, but you go as a guest of the bride. They say they are the bride. That's a little arrogant, don't you think? So you get in, but you only get in as a guest. So at the marriage of the Lamb, you have to stand off to the side and watch. You're not a part of the bride. Oh, it's ridiculous. But that's what they've come up with. And all the folks who belong to a local New Testament church, they're simply church members right now. But at the rapture, when all believers are called out of this world, then we'll form a church in heaven, and all the believers will be the bride of Christ and the church. Called out. All of us called out. All right? So, everybody follow me? You may not agree, but do you follow me? You're going to find out one of these days I'm right. But so why join a New Testament church now? Why? Why join a church now? Well, listen to me. The church is the only institution in this world that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny? Folks will join the moose and the elks and the eagles and the, you know, and the hoot owls and everything else. The masons and the shriners and the peacocks, you name it, they'll join it. But they won't join a church. They won't join a New Testament church. I will go to my grave trying to figure people out. The church is the only institution in this world that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. He ordained it. He established it. It is his unit of battle against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. The church is his arsenal where we get our weapons. It is His dining hall where we gather and feed and get equipped for the spiritual battle. It is the place where we fellowship with one another and where we pray for one another and hold one another up and love one another and help one another in the Lord. You bring your plate and you come and you pull up a seat at the table. And then I, as the God called a man for this church, takes the bread of life and feeds your soul with that eternal truth. The local church is the battle station where we serve our Savior who gave His life for us. We fight the battle of winning souls to Christ. We go after the lost souls and do what we can to get people into heaven. We do the living cross, and it takes some sacrifice to do that. We do the Christmas cantata and we run the buses, and we do the reformers on Tuesday nights and the Soul Winners Club and the Super 60s and the neighborhood Bible time and the summer stomp and the youth group and the Sunday school and a host of other ministries that we do. Why? All for the intent, or with the intent, of giving you, a member of the church, an opportunity and a place where you can serve and do what God wants you to do, winning folks to Christ.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to be hurtful, folks. I'm just trying to stir your heart and get you to realize that this church thing is important. But I've noticed, I've been doing this a long time, and I've noticed that the folks that yoke up with the church, the folks that identify, the folks that step in there and join and jump in with both feet and plant themselves in the house of the Lord are the ones that stick with it. They're the ones that grow. They're the ones that get nurtured. They are the ones that feel that they are a part of the family of the church of the Open Door. They have a home. They have a cause. And the truth is, in most churches around this country, unless you are a member, you don't get the benefits of the family. That's true, isn't it? But not around here. That's not the case here. If you haven't joined, but you say, well, I attend. Yeah, but you haven't joined. Well, I got news for you. We're still going to love you. We are.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, we're still going to visit you when you have surgery or when you're in the hospital or when you're sick. Oh, by the way, that doesn't happen everywhere. Just so you know. But we'll be there to help you any way we can. But now just think, how many people could be serving if they would only join? I think there are a lot of choir members that sit in the congregation. A lot of choir members that are sitting out in the congregation, but they aren't in the choir because you got to be a member to sing in the choir. Now listen to me, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. You're going to heaven when you die if you're saved. You're going to heaven if the rapture happens. You're going to heaven because you're saved. But the Lord Jesus gave us His church as the institution to identify with Him and to serve Him. If you're saved, you're going to one day be the bride of Christ. All right? We're not the bride right now, but after the rapture, during the tribulation, there's going to be a wedding. You were saved. If you die before the rapture, you're going to heaven. If you're alive when the rapture happens, you're going to heaven. And during the tribulation, at the marriage, you, a saved person, are going to be in the bride of Christ. Nod your head. You with me?
Amen.
All right. Now, think. Just think. Since we're going to heaven because we're saved. And since one day we are going to be the bride, then why not over here in the journey, why don't you go first class? Huh? I mean, we're going there. And you're saved over here. You're going to one day be over here in the bride. So you're going here. Why don't you make the journey first class? A couple years ago when we went to the Philippines, me and traveling, I just don't, that long flight. And I'm sitting there looking, and I thought, you know, this plane's not full. I can tell this plane's not full. So we got in, and I walked up to the counter, and I've got a group of 25 people here with me, and we're headed back to America. These 25 people would not be on this plane if they weren't with me. I was preaching in the Philippines, and these people are from my church, and they would not be on this plane if it were not for me. Do you understand what I'm saying, ma'am? She said, I think I do. I said, so what do you think? Can you upgrade my ticket? Because these people would not be here if it were not for me. Every one of these people bought a ticket, and not a one of them would be on this flight if it were not for me. You know? And you know what she did? She reached down. She took my boarding pass. She tore it up. She gave me a new one, and it said seat 2. You know where seat 2 is? Seat 2 is in first class. Oh, man, I had a chair. That thing was that big. And you pushed a button, and it went and made a bed. A bed. And this little thing came out of the floor and came right up over top of me and went all the way up like this. I grabbed my little pillow. I grabbed my little blanket, and I went to sleep. I slept all the way across the Pacific Ocean. It was awesome. When they woke me up, they said, here, we're going to serve breakfast. And I said, oh. I said, okay. And she came with a little chrome coffee pot and poured me a cup of coffee in a porcelain cup. And then she came and she said, would you like some sorbet? And I said, what? And she said, sorbet. And I said, no, I'm not sure I know what that is. And she said, it's to clean your palate. And I said, don't you brush your teeth for that? I mean, seriously? And she go, oh, it'll clean your palate. And so I took a little bite of it, and I thought, wow, I've never had a clean palate. I probably better eat all of this. So I just scarfed it all down. It's pretty good, to be honest with you. Hey, go first class. If you're gonna fly, you might as well fly first class. If you're going to heaven, you might as well go first class. Now, look at Ephesians 5:23 that I read. Paul said that Christ was the Savior of the body. You see, the local New Testament church is his body by possession. The body is the church, or the called out assembly. If you look at verse 25, you see the word sanctify means to set apart. Right now, the local New Testament church is not the bride of Christ, but it is set apart to become the bride of Christ. Notice it says that he might present it to himself. In other words, it has not yet been presented to him. It will be after the rapture happens. Then it will be presented to him. Right now, we're the body. When we get to heaven, then we'll be the bride. Nod your heads. You with me? I got so much I need to say. When the rapture happens, folks, all of us spotty, wrinkled Christians, we're going to be caught up in the air. And we'll be presented, we'll be changed. Remember, that's what John said. And we shall all be changed. But right now, we're all spotty and wrinkly. We're old. But we shall be changed. When we shall see him, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And when we're changed, that's when we will be presented as a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle. Amen. You say, well, so right now we're kind of like in the engagement. Yeah, exactly. We're in the espousal period. In Bible times, the espousal period was a legal binding contract that nothing could break. And that's why right now our salvation is unbreakable. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But the day is coming when we will be caught up. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Boy, that day is coming. And then all of us who have been called out will be together in heaven. And then all of us collectively, all the called out assembly will be called the bride of Christ. You see, that's why the devil works so hard to get you not to join the church. Because he knows if you do, well, you just might do something for God. And I say, he don't want you to do anything for God. He don't want you to do that. You see, if you join the church, then the Spirit of God can speak to your heart about filling a need. And he doesn't want the Spirit of God speaking to your heart about filling a need. So he tells you, you're good. You're good. Hey, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Yeah, you are. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, since you're going, why not go first class? We are right now members of the family of God. We're going to heaven when we die or when the rapture happens. And when that rapture happens, we're going to be assembled to form a group of called out believers who will assemble around the throne. And we will be at that point the bride of Christ.